You guys must know her. She has an amazing catalog and career and a whole wall full of Junos. Canadian rock royalty, Mrs. Amanda Marshall. Tansy, and welcome to 89.3 The Raven.
Thank you.
So first off, I want to say congrats on this year's Juno win.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yes, quite unexpected, but always welcome.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the list here, and there's a bit of a gap. Your last win was in 2003, and it's been a bit of a gap for albums and whatnot. They're using the word comeback album. Do you feel like it was a comeback album?
I think in a matter of speaking, you'd be hard-pressed to call it anything else. I mean, there was a 20-year gap between my last record and this one. This past year has really been sort of an extraordinary experience. We've been across the country almost twice now. You know, I really came into this with zero expectations, and I think when you kind of take away all of the kind of frills and infrastructure of the music business itself, and you're sort of just making music for the sake of making music, it really gives you an opportunity to sort of, you know, play the game with nothing to lose. And it's just been really an extraordinary experience to kind of watch people embrace the old catalog and embrace this new record. It's been just amazing.
Awesome. Now, I first seen you live, I think I'm going to say it was roughly 96 or so. You were the opening act for Tom Cochrane at the Edmonton Shaw Conference Center. And at the time, you were brand new. No one knew who Amanda Marshall was. And there was comparisons. You know, you were being compared to people like Janis Joplin and Joni Mitchell. How does it feel to have your name ring in the same sentence as some of these artists?
It's incredibly flattering, and at the same time, I'll be honest, it's entirely meaningless because the two artists that you just named are, you know, could not be further apart in terms of their disparate presentations on the musical spectrum. So I think comparisons are helpful when you're first starting out, obviously, because people, as you said, don't know who you are, and everybody's kind of looking and looking for a way to get the word out, to sort of tell you who you are, tell their friends who you are, and comparisons are useful in that way. I really was always very kind of leery of, certainly I had my own musical heroes growing up, and I had my own musical heroes as a writer and as a performer, but I was always really leery of kind of talking about that stuff because you're trying to sort of carve your own path, and you're really trying to do the thing that makes you unique and compelling and original. But, you know, it's always incredibly flattering. I don't think I've ever been compared to someone that I didn't like, so it's been incredibly flattering in that way.
Now, we talked about the gap. What were you doing in all of those years? Were you writing? Was there something big going on in your life?
Yeah, I came off the road in, I think, the end of 2002. We finished the touring cycle for my third album, Everybody's Got a Story, which was my third album for Sony. We had just completed a world tour. And as often happens, and I'm certainly not the first person to whom this has happened in the music business. I don't think I'm even the first person to whom it's happened recently. But I came off the road, and a long-standing business relationship that I had with my management sort of fell apart, and I wound up firing my manager, and it became this very long, protracted, complicated, sort of chaotic legal battle, and it was going back and forth, and it just took a really long time to resolve itself. I don't know that it happens so much anymore because the music business itself has really changed so much. But it certainly, as I said, I'm not the first person to whom it has happened. At the beginning, I wasn't really doing much of anything because I was sort of trying to resolve it. And then towards the middle, I started to really realize that it was something that I sort of thought was the worst thing that had ever happened to me. It turned out to be the absolute best thing that ever happened to me on a personal level, on a professional level, creatively. It gave me the time and the space and the impetus that I really needed to kind of go into the studio on my own and make heavy lifting. It gave me the time that I needed to complete the record in exactly the way I wanted to do it. It gave us the time that we needed to kind of go back and rearrange things as we saw fit. I Hope She Cheats, which was the first single off of the record, was the only song on the record that was not written by me. And had we not had the time to really go back, and had I not sort of heard that song by chance, it really would have affected the whole tone of the rest of the album because that song was integral in making me really reevaluate myself sort of as a lyricist and what, you know, what I wanted the musical backdrop to be for the rest of the album. So yeah, it was a chaotic time, but it was also a really, really productive time. And I really grabbed onto it with both hands. I was really lucky that I kind of recognized early on that this was going to be a real saving grace for me.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about growing and learning, and I think you know we're all doing that as humans and as artists as well. So I love to hear that you know you're in a way better place right now, and the album shows that itself. So congratulations on all of those personal milestones as well.
Thanks.
Yeah, so we talked about changing. You know, you've been in this industry for so long now, almost 30 years as a professional artist, and so much has changed over the years. What has been the most difficult thing for you to kind of adjust through in that change?
The most difficult thing? I can't think of anything that's been too terribly difficult. I mean, as you mentioned, the landscape has really changed a lot. Obviously, the introduction of social media into all aspects of every area of the entertainment business has forever changed, together with how music is delivered to the consumer via various streaming services. That's obviously the biggest change. And there are 1,001 discussions that we could have about, you know, the sort of more technical aspects of all of that. But I really, you know, it's not something that weighs on me. I really look at it as a gift. I think there are some unpleasant aspects of it, which is that it's kind of hardened musicians in their quest for branding, which I think is never really a great sort of positive, you know, creative thing. But it does have, there is a creative aspect to it that I really enjoy. I love, you know, the sort of the showmanship of it and the fact that everybody's kind of jostling for the best idea, which is always, I think, a great, great thing. I think it gives unknown musical artists the opportunity to really have a direct line to a new fan base and to have people find their music, which I think is fantastic. That's never a bad thing. So there isn't really a lot of it that is too terribly negative. I really, as much as people talk about how much the music business has changed, you know, music is music. I think there will always be sort of a generation coming up behind who want to learn how to play an instrument, who want to learn how to, you know, form that kind of chemistry and that bond with three or four other people in their dad's garage learning how to play. Mm-hmm. I don't pretend to give advice to anybody, but, you know, I get asked a lot, like, what is the thing that you tell young musicians? And it's the same thing that everybody tells them. You got to play. If you can't do it, you can't do it. So you really have to be able to get out and play. Nothing will ever replace the live experience for either the musician or the fan.
Great words for young bands getting up there. I love that. Now, you're coming to Edmonton playing K-Days this year.
We are.
Yes. So can we talk about a little bit about carnivals here? Like maybe Amanda Marshall's favorite carnival ride.
Oh, man. I'm not too big of a ride person. I'm like more of a bumper car girl. I love stuff that's like, you know, I love stuff that's on the ground. I'm not a big, like, huge roller coaster. I'll do the odd, like, Ferris wheel. I have in the past ridden roller coasters. But, yeah, I'm like a big, I really like stuff. I like games. I really like stuff where you, like, you know, you shoot stuff and you win a stuffed animal, that sort of thing. That's really more my speed.
Awesome. And carnival food. Everybody loves carnival food. What's Amanda Marshall's go-to on the carnival midway for food?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with the ice cream waffle sandwich. I mean, that's always been like my thing, the hot waffle with the cold ice cream. I'm not really a big dessert person, but I will definitely go there first.
Awesome. Now you're coming to Edmonton. One last question. When I use the word Edmonton, you've obviously toured how many times across this beautiful country so many times. Is there anything that stands out when I use the word Edmonton, maybe venues, maybe some time, some memories here that you can share with the listeners?
I'm going to be an incredible, like, boring tourist and say that we have always had so much fun going to West Edmonton Mall, and I know that that's like a huge tourist trap, but when you are touring the way that we tour, the way that most musicians tour, you know, a day off is when you really get to kind of go out and people watch. And West Edmonton Mall for us has always had, like, it's got a great mix of stuff to do. Like, there's stuff to eat, there's stuff to watch, there's places to go, there's things to buy. So the last, our last swing through Edmonton, all of us in like separate, like everybody, band, crew, everybody, and we were all running into each other there all day long, like just people coming out of stores and like, oh, have you been to this restaurant? And that's sort of always been the thing for us. We always like go for like at least, try to get there for like at least an afternoon just for fun. I know it's a touristy thing to do, but yeah, that's us.
Nothing wrong with that. Once again, speaking with Amanda Marshall, coming to town playing K-Days this year. You don't want to miss it. She's also a 2024 Juno winner with her album Heavy Lifting. We want to thank you for taking the time to chat with our listeners, Amanda, and we can't wait to see you here in Edmonton.
Thanks. We'll see you then. Thanks, guys.